Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
John Harper of SNY. We'll talk a little baseball here with the locals. John, happy holidays to you. How you doing?
Good, good. Eddie, same to you. Everything's good. You?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm hanging in. I'm doing okay. You know, Dellin Betances. After Blake Treinen didn't sign, I said, well, there's no way they're going to get Dellin Betances. And all of a sudden, Dellin Betances shows up on the doorstep. Pretty good.
Yeah, that is a nice little Christmas present on Christmas Eve. They got it done.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got to believe. I know they're kind of sending out signals. It's not about because they recouped all this money on Cespedes, but I have to believe played a role here.
Sure.
You know, all of a sudden, I mean, it's something they had to do, though. I think we've talked about this earlier in the offseason. You know, I mean, Brody Van Wagenen could stand there all winter long and say that he could count on, he was counting on bounce backs from Familia and Diaz, and Mets fans weren't going to believe it. So they needed this for a little credibility, and now, you know, he gives them – listen, there's risk with him. There's no doubt. I mean, an Achilles injury, it wasn't a total tear, but still, even a partial tear for a guy that big, his landing leg, all that stuff, plus the shoulder. So there's risk there, but I think it's something they had to take because – his ceiling is so high, as everybody in New York knows, that when he's right, I think he could be kind of that wild card that they need if they're going to be serious about trying to win this division, which keeps getting better and better. So definitely a risk worth taking, especially on a one-year deal.
Yeah, now, listen, Brody Van Wagenen is entrusting the bullpen to bounce backs, but he was doing that before Betances got here anyway with Diaz and Familia. If you look at a guy like Gesellman, if he's in the bullpen, he got to bounce back as well, too. Lugo is probably the only guy out there who stood out, you know, the year before. So, yeah, but you add Betances to the mix, but there are a lot of guys, if they can bounce back, and, you know, if Diaz can be Diaz, that can close out games, which gives you a lot of flexibility there, too.
Yeah, now you increase your odds of a couple of these guys bouncing back. Right. If they get two out of the three, of Familia, Diaz, and Betances. I'm sure. You know, listen, now you got a really good pen because I believe in Lugo. I don't think there's anything flukish there.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't think, you know. I know he wants to start, and understandably so. That's right. He'd probably make more money that way in arbitration. But he's such a, and I made the case that I still think if they did make him a starter, he'd be better than either Porcello or Waka as that fifth guy. But
the way it lines up
now, they got that fifth spot pretty much covered, and he's so good in that pen. He had a 1.95 ERA in the second half. He saved their season in a lot of ways and gave them a shot at that wild card. So, yeah, I like that what they did. And one other thing, though, it kind of does raise the ramifications of it. Are I wrote about this in a column for today, is that I think it's really going to be fascinating to see how Beltran handles this as a rookie manager. You know, handling bullpens now has become kind of the litmus test for every manager. It's so important. And now he's going to have, if depending on how these guys play out, he's going to have a lot of choices. And he might have to bruise a few egos here in making those choices, depending on what Diaz and Familia do. I think it's going to be really fascinating to see how he handles it.
Yeah, that's a great point. It is. It's not an easy task for a first-time manager, and especially in New York, too. I know he can handle New York, but still, I know that's an excellent point to bring up. Hey, John, how do you see – yeah, I was talking about this before. You know, when you detail the Mets' bullpen, they have – you know, I guess they're going to have seven guys. I don't assume it's going to be eight. And you would think Porcello is going to be in the rotation. He seems to be the more consistent of the two as opposed to Waka. They've only got one lefty, Justin Wilson. Waka's kind of the X factor. Like, how do you think it all shakes out as far as how they comprise the bullpen and starting rotation?
Yeah, that's a great question, Eddie. And it seems like they kind of putting out signals that the front office or somebody over there that they wouldn't mind seeing Mats go to the bullpen, which I don't really. I'm not sure I would go that way.
I wouldn't.
I think. I mean, I think that kid. He's not a kid. I think he's come a long way in terms of being able to prove that he can stay healthy. Two straight years now, he's made 30 starts, and that last year, I thought he really sort of turned the corner there. I mean, we've said it over the years, but he had a few rough ones, but. And one late in the year that when they still had a chance, but still for the most part, there were times when he was really good. I still think he's getting better in a lot of ways and handling things. He's matured in how he handles situations on the mound, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any other lefties. I'd keep him in the rotation and make Walker have to earn that spot. Walker, I mean, you'd probably rather put him in the pen than Porcello, but Walker's been hurt so much. I understand the argument for putting him in the rotation too, but I think I'd give Mats another shot for sure.
Yeah, I would too. I think it's risky. I don't think he's real comfortable out there on the pen. You know, he went there, and I think he had a couple of relief appearances, whatever, during the time he was there. I just don't think he's real comfortable. I think he's more comfortable being the starter, and I know there have been up and downs, but it's interesting because of the one lefty in the pen, if it is Wilson, you know, how that all breaks out, whether it's seven, whether it's eight guys, how they all break it down and how they get time for all these guys too, because, you know, Walker's contract is incentive-laden, but, if he's in the bullpen, then how does that work? So I'm not quite sure how they're going to shake all that out.
Especially, yeah, I know. I mean, depending on what you believe, they made promises to these guys about being in the rotation.
Right. Yeah.
But the other part of it, and Wilson's not even really a true lefty specialist because his splits are kind of neutral. But so I don't know if they have one. Maybe that's Zamora, but he hasn't really proved he can do it. And I don't know if you need it though, because if guys like Betances and Diaz and Lugo are doing their thing, the splits don't make that much difference to them, to lefty or righty. So I think they have enough depth and they have enough high ceiling guys in that bullpen that it shouldn't really matter. So I wouldn't make that. I wouldn't base that decision on who's going to be in the rotation, who's going to be in the bullpen on that part of it anyway.
I would think that, and depending on what happens between now and then, whether there's another move, but spring training could be very interesting for the Mets simply because Cespedes is coming back and we'll see him there. So I don't know what to think. Nobody knows what to think at this point in time. But I guess it is best case scenario with him. I mean, if he hits and he can field, you retain him. If he hits and can't field, do you try to move him? How do you see that shaking out?
Yeah, I guess we'll get a better idea in spring training. He's got to be able to play at least a decent left field.
Yeah,
and who knows with that ankle, whatever, however he fractured it and all that. We know it cost him a lot of money, but I would think he's such a great athlete. As much as he's been injured, I still think he'd be adequate in left field, maybe still even better than J.D. Davis. But he's got to show he can do it. And then, that could be tricky for Beltran, too, because I think Davis has earned his at-bats. I think that kid can hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll see. I mean, we know Cespedes, he made those predictions to Eduardo Perez, which tells you that, he's feeling good about himself, obviously, because it wasn't – I don't think he meant that for – public consumption necessarily. At least that's what Perez told me. I talked to him about it. He actually made that call to Cespedes when he was still in the running for the Mets managerial job. So it was a while ago, and he had specific ideas he wanted to communicate to Cespedes about where he might hit him, things like that. So that that tells me that he's feeling obviously this guy's going to have a huge chip on his shoulder. They took that money away from him. Mm. He's got a chance to earn some of it back in incentives. But those incentives are mostly about, I think, at bats and playing time. So he's going to want to play as much as possible. And even if he is healthy, they got to be really smart about how they handle him to try to keep him healthy. So I would think that would mean limiting his bats. So that, that's another thing that Beltran's going to have to deal with. So that's interesting. But listen, the Mets, I would think ideally they would do cartwheels if they could get 120 games out of him and 30 home runs. Forget about 40 or 50 as he's talking about. That would just make them that much better.
I think he said 140 games too, so maybe he'll quibble about the other 20 too for that matter. But I think 120 would be fun. They'd be ecstatic with that if they could do that. John Harper of SNY, our guest here with the Yankees, and I've always felt this, you kind of get the feeling that Didi Gregorius was not coming back, but when it actually happened, I mean, I thought that was a big blow for the Yanks. And I know they got better with Gerrit Cole. There's no question about that. He's the best pitcher in baseball, you would assume. But I do think you miss Gregorius a little bit in that lineup.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think he was a presence in that team, in that clubhouse. But if they had to make a decision, we know Hal is not just going to completely give Cashman free reign with the budget, but if he's going to make a choice between Betances and Cole, I think they made the right choice. I think Cole's the guy that could put them over the top. It's that piece at the top of the rotation they've been missing. I know this postseason was more about maybe not getting clutch hits, things like that, but you put that guy at the top of the rotation, makes them so much better. It takes some of the strain off that bullpen, which might have gotten tired at the end. Mm-hmm. They don't have many lefty bats, that's for sure. And so they'll miss his power, but I do think they'll be okay there. I think Torres can play decent shortstop, and maybe they'll get another guy to fill in there, kind of a defensive guy. And then you move LeMay really back to his natural position at second instead of moving all over the place. I think they'll be fine there. There's no doubt they'll miss that lefty power. I think I wouldn't be surprised if they find a way to find some kind of lefty bat to bring off the bench still, too. Although, you know what? I'm really intrigued by that Ford lefty. He looks like he's got a perfect swing for Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. He might end up playing more at first base than we think.
Interesting. Yeah, short porch. Yeah, that's I could see that happening. And they like him, and he obviously can respond, too. He can play in New York. I think we know that. He's played very well thus far. The Cole acquisition, too, if you get a bounce back from Severino, you look at that rotation, it can make it a dominant rotation where it hasn't been, obviously, the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think we know Brody declared the Mets to have the deepest rotation in baseball, but I would think have to quibble with that with the Yankees and the Nationals, to name two right nearby.
Right.
If Cole's the guy at the top, man, Paxton, Severino, Tanaka, 2-3-4 in some order, that's as good as it gets, assuming Severino is back and healthy. So that could really turn from, we talked all last year, who's Cashman going to get? They never got anybody. That turns from a question mark now to really, they could have the best rotation in baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I definitely think they can. There's no question. When you look at, give me the other teams in, say, the AL East and the National League East that you think, present the most problems to the local teams.
Yeah. Hey, listen, the NL East is.
I know, it's loaded.
It's loaded. It's a great division. Everybody keeps adding on. And I still, I know the Nationals won it all, but I would still look at the Braves as the biggest. The reason that the Mets couldn't win the division, they won the division 2 years in a row, and they haven't done that much this offseason, but they made a couple of good moves. We'll see what they do at third base if Donaldson ends up coming back or not. But they still got a really good farm system. They got some good young pitching still coming. If they don't get Donaldson, maybe they make that trade for Chris Bryant, somebody like that. I still think they're getting better, so I would make them number one on that list. And the AL East, it looks like the Red Sox are taking a step back. They'll still be good, but payroll that's their priority, seems to be reducing payroll. Maybe they trade Price, maybe they trade I don't think anybody's going to be able to give them enough to trade Mookie Betts, but I think the Rays actually might be the biggest problem for the Yankees just because that rotation could be really good. They had some injuries with Snell and Glasnow last year. You got Morton was really good, but if those guys stay healthy, that's one of the best rotations in baseball as well. If they find a way to piece it together, they could still use more offense, but they do a better job than anybody at piecing bullpens together too. So I think that's a 90-plus win team again. So I don't think anybody's really going to challenge the Yankees because I think you put Cole now with that offense. For the regular season, they're just going to bludgeon people, and I think probably win 105, 110 games easy.
You know, it's interesting that Tampa Bay may actually have a rotation instead of openers this year. Yeah, you know, which makes it a little bit different. But I think they're better.
Hey, it's great to see, Eddie. You know, I mean, I know the opener. I understand the strategy. But baseball needs stars. It needs that starting pitching matchups to get people interested. Baseball needs to think entertainment as much as just competition in terms of selling their product.
Yeah. No, it's a very fair point. Do you think that how the Donaldson / Arenado, whatever happens third base-wise, if Arenado does get moved and where they go, say Washington, Atlanta, will swing the balance possibly in the National League East?
A little bit. I do think if Donaldson goes to Washington, which seems pretty possible as well, yeah, then they're pretty much loaded again. That offense, he steps in for Rendon, not as good as Rendon maybe at this stage of his career, but that's they still got all the pieces in place, and so they'll be tough, that rotation with Strasburg and those guys at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then to me, it's a matter of how do the Braves counter that if they don't get Donaldson? Do they go get a Chris Bryant? I have a hard time, believing somebody's going to give Colorado enough to give up Arenado.
Right.
After they just gave him that huge extension. But you never know. Plus, there's no trade clauses involved, things like that. I think there's more likely, if the Braves got Bryant, I still think Bryant has some huge years ahead of him. So they made that move, which seems more possible. And they have the pieces to go get him with that farm system. That would do something. But if they just fill in that gap, in-house or something like that, with Camargo, maybe that kid Austin Riley, then I think the Nationals get a little bit of an edge there for sure.
Gotcha. Hey, Harp, always good talking to you. Happy New Year, and I'm sure I'll see you soon, okay?
Yeah, thanks, Eddie. Good talking to you.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.